On this eve of Thanksgiving week, Dr. Atira Charles will be with us in this first hour talking about cultivating a grateful heart. You don't want to miss that. And Dr. Michael Hanawalt, he is the artistic director for Tallahassee Community Chorus. But here they come with a remarkable gift for this community. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
Are as we look forward to Thanksgiving in a week that we hope will be full of many blessings for you and your family and your loved ones and your friends and your business associates. It's certainly our Thanksgiving prayer that you find yourself in keeping with the season. Plenty of opportunities to be thankful, and you can hear the irony in my voice, I hope, in that we find ourselves having lived through the last, 11 months of unprecedented challenge that certainly hasn't yet concluded, but we're... the hits just keep on a-coming. And as we do so, it begs the question, when is it that we can truly be grateful? When is it that we can give thanks for all that we've been given? And what better opportunity do we have than when many of our circumstances are tragic, are frightening, or stressful beyond the max, beyond our supposed ability to deal with them individually or collectively, right? Our social systems, our political system, our religious organizations, our charitable organizations all have been tested. Even arts and entertainment and certainly retail and hospitality. My goodness, transportation. Nothing has been untouched. And it has brought us to tears. It has brought us to anger. And it has brought us to points of bewilderment when you think, where do I go now? What do I do next? What is that next step? And how many times have you heard people, you've probably said this yourself, I'm just making this up as I go along. Hard to make things up when you just don't have things to use to make up. When you've lost a job or a house or your kids have just moved back in with you, or maybe you've moved in with your parents. Adaptation. Man, we've probably worn that one out in the dictionary. How many times we've turned to that page? We've got to adapt. We've got to adjust. So I thought it'd be appropriate here. We have Atira Charles with us in this first hour. And for those of you who know her work, and maybe you know her personally, you know that you're in for some sincere and well-articulated guidance. This woman has taught for many years. She's a faculty member at Florida A&M, well-published, presented across the country in various settings, often with business organizations. She's a personal mentor for a lot of folks, and as her passion tends to follow after this business of self-realization and self-appreciation and building self-esteem and discovering one's purpose in life, these are recurring themes for her. And she's particularly able then to help us think through the process. And what I love about Dr. Charles is her ability to bring that to a distilled sort of thought, you know, that without it becoming too academic, although such things by their own nature are academic, there's a kind of pragmatism about her teaching, her discussion. You're going to find that in this next portion of the show during a time when we could certainly use a matter of direction, if we could use some encouragement, and how we can go about cultivating then a grateful heart. And I started by asking you, what are you grateful for? Some of you are very good at this. Some of you just suck. And so we're going to take all the good and all the sucky parts, and we're going to try to find some common ground in which we can say we have these things. It is not at all a stretch of our thought to consider that, you know, 150 years ago or so, we talk about where the country was in this bloody, terrifying, gruesome civil war. The thousands and thousands and thousands of people who died. And our president then looking out across not just battlefields, but looking out onto this world stage and asking eloquently enough whether or not this America, this democracy, could survive. If any such government could survive, and if we at that time, he's asking, were willing to press onward, if we're willing to push forward. I mean, that's the whole Gettysburg Address message, in that we've got to decide for ourselves, what do we really want here? Well, isn't that pertinent? And it was not too far away from that date that 1865, he issues this national declaration, a proclamation, in which the last Thursday in the month of November then is identified as a day of thanksgiving. So here we have it. And while there are some publicly, nationally, who have argued against the idea or have thought it should be restricted in some fashion, I think most of us are grown-ups and are able to think through it for ourselves and exercise what caution we must that we find appropriate for our families. But my prayer for you, my friend, is that like we did those 150 years ago as a nation, we come together and we begin to examine not just what we have been able to preserve, but the manner in which we've done it. That if we are in fact this nation of freedom, of liberty, of justice, if we are a nation of forgiveness and gratitude and generosity, that we'll find those among us, within our families, within our circle of friends, where we can say, at the very least, I'm thankful to be here with you. I'm thankful that we are able to affirm one another. That's really what Atira Charles is going to talk about. Finding in yourself those things that you're grateful for. And that bedrock of gratitude, you can live on that. Stay with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. Now we're talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Dr. Atira Charles, who has graciously joined us here this morning. And so glad that you, Dr. Charles, have been able to give us a bit of insight. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about a good starting place. And we've said that, man, that's really about you getting quiet and listening. Where do you see it going from there? What's kind of the next step in that?
So once we have that stillness moment and once we reflect, we then have to be honest, right? And this is the most difficult part of the process, because I always say we have to hold up the metaphorical mirror and look in and be okay with what we see and understand that if we see some blemishes or if we see some challenges or if we see some things that don't make us feel good, we have to still value that information, that message, the same way that we value the things that make us feel good about ourselves. And that's honestly the process of vulnerability that is the most difficult.
And why is that most difficult, do you think?
So psychological theory will say that as humans, we have a hedonistic quality, right? We like to feel good. We like to do things that make us feel good. We like to do things that make us believe that we are good, right? And then ego gets involved there as well. And not ego in the layman's term, negative, you know, view, but just our concept of self, you know,
and protecting
and
self.
And so by being, by not being vulnerable and not being transparent, that's actually self-protective, but it's self-protective to a fault.
Right.
Right.
So those things that we might say are sort of natural for us
can
really keep us from.
We're battling a psychological tendency,
right? Yeah.
And in battling a psychological tendency or even a behavioral tendency, that's difficult, because now what we're really talking about is almost rewriting our code.
And
right?
That must be even more difficult for those who have been traumatized, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because when even if someone lives a life that has more high times than low times, life is rough and tough, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about having more valleys than peaks, there's more to deal with there, right? And that's where that comes
from. I was reading a Facebook post from a friend who said that her husband hadn't spoken to his mother in over 35 years, kind of thing, and didn't want to have any relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And she was reporting this to us, which in and of itself is sort of curious to me, that we will reveal the most intimate details to our lives to people that we don't know.
Right.
But if someone were to walk up to us on the street and ask us those kinds of intimate questions, we'd be offended.
Right. Well, it's because... No matter what, if we have a set of emotions that is building up and brewing, it's going to come out, right? Mm-hmm. We only have a certain human capacity, right?
So she took the opportunity to tell us about this. I'm not sure he was in on that.
I was going to say, I'm not sure how he felt about it, but, you know.
She did report.
It was cathartic for her, I guess.
the point of her posting was that he'd made this effort to make a phone call to his mother, mm-hmm. and left her a voicemail message.
Wow.
So she said, okay, it's a start. And some folks, of course, were chiming in about, hey, that's great and all. And it reminded me of this idea that resentment is the poison you drink to yourself to try to get even with somebody else.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You know, so if I allow bitterness or unforgiveness to remain, then this ability to be less inhibited, to be more vulnerable, to open up and experience gratitude,
right,
becomes even more difficult, right?
And one of the challenges with vulnerability, one of the things we have to become aware of, is there's always going to be a peanut gallery that has an opinion, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to become better filters of the peanut galleries in our lives as well. And when we think about social media, social media creates this...
There's a lot of nuts out there.
Right? Social media creates this false sense of community or interaction sometimes, right? Yeah. So I love Facebook. I love Instagram. I love to be able to share pictures, share stories, have people engage in my life that just by time, space, and location don't have a front row view, right? It allows me to build relationships with people that just time and space has created, you know, distance with. So I do believe that there's strong value, and I'm pro social media, but it's like anything has another side, right?
Yeah.
I think that social media for some allows people to live in this insulated space internally, but kind of create this facade of external interaction. And that can be dangerous because it can almost become a little bit delusional.
Honestly, I don't see there, I agree with that. And I don't see that being much different than what we often will do when we go to some group that we're a part of, but we never really get honest with that group. It could be a Sunday morning, it could be a Wednesday night group, or whatever we're doing, maybe the people at work. We just don't get honest, do we?
Yeah.
Remove the mask, I think you might say.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I have a new project that I'm working on called The Mask Project, which talks about the emotional and psychological masks that we wear every day in our personal life and in our work lives. And I like to use the hashtag unmasked, right? UNMASKED, because we have to take the masks off at some point, right? So masks can be, the metaphorical mask, I'll call it, can be protective, right? It can also insulate us, but it can also be strategic. Right. So a lot of times we think about a mask as a negative thing. Oh, you're covering, you're hiding. Oh, you're shamed. No, not necessarily. I may just be aware enough to reflect and realize that in this moment, in this situation, in this circumstance, I need to wear it. But one of the challenges is that people can sometimes get so used to the rat race of wearing all of these different masks that they don't have the moments to take it off and reflect and kind of get back in touch with their core authentic self.
And would you say too that in being that way and in being in touch with your core self, if you have at least one other or maybe a core group that knows that core, that knows that real you, that's helpful, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Research will support, and even anecdotally, social support systems matter. But you have to make sure that the sources of your social support are authentic as well and can interact with you in that transparent and in that vulnerable way, because it's an exchange. If I share everything with you, but then you don't share anything with me, in our next interaction, I'm going to be more guarded. But if I share with you and then you share with me, now there's trust that's built. And understand that we have an equal vested interest in this vulnerability exchange.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Dr. Atira Charles and having a great conversation here about those things that you and I do with our own lives and with those around us who are, we'll say, our intimate others, our significant others, how well we can embrace the idea of being grateful, so allowing gratitude to work within us, bring us past those masks that we sometimes wear for good reason, but allow us to have that sort of genuine intimacy with the people right. who matter most. Folks, we are having a great, I'm having a great time. Thank you for staying with us. We're going to continue with Dr. Charles as we take this break. We'll be back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln declares his faith in God, issuing a proclamation.
I invite my fellow citizens with humble penitence to fervently implore the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation to the full enjoyment of peace, tranquility, and union.
He recalls the blessings and mercies of God in spite of our disobedience and officially declares the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, may we find that same gratefulness in our hearts in the midst of adversity and join together in prayer for our nation. From Wood and Glass on South Monroe in Tallahassee for window glass replacement, bath and shower enclosures, mirrors, tabletops, and storefront glass, call 222-5781 or online at woodandglass.com.
So here we are on this lovely Saturday. 93.3 FM is our home station in Tallahassee. The good folks at Freedom 93 are willing to put up with me every week, as are you, my dear friend. Thank you for listening in, wherever you may be. If you're online listening, we stream live to the web, or we're broadcasting locally here at 93.3 in Tallahassee. And we have Dr. Charles with us, holding us up and holding our hands as we get through this murky business of figuring out who we are, how we can better live our lives in ways that are more, let's say, rewarding, meaningful, mm-hmm. satisfying. As you've said repeatedly, it is a process,
yes.
and it's lifelong. We've pulled out a few rather dramatic examples of folks who on a public stage shock us with their behavior. And your comment is, well, okay, let's see what's behind the mask.
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah. And as we begin that effort, we've said that step one is we really just need to have those moments in our lives. And I mean, this is what, every day maybe, or at least often?
Every day, or in some systematic
quiet.
Way.
Yeah.
Right, in some systematic way, be it once a day, twice a day, two times a week. We have to have some type of personal ritual, some type of personal system that allows us to be still, right, and reflect. And that requires no distractions, right? Because we're our own set of distractions
internally.
It is
so contrary to modern living.
It is.
I mean,
it
we wake so up, we contrary. Flip on the TV, we're on our Facebook page, on our phones. I mean, driving in the car, we flip on the radio.
Exactly.
You know? Don't turn the radio off, just saying.
Right. And that's and that's just the other stuff. That's not even the husbands and the wives and the children and the yeah. mothers and the fathers that we're taking care of and yeah. everybody else, right? The internal noise is loud enough, but if you don't allow yourself to disconnect from that external noise, you won't be able to fruitfully go through this process.
Do you, when you look at let's just talk about our community, Tallahassee,
yes.
okay? And of course, we're a subset of American culture,
mm-hmm.
but we have a kind of style here that is ours, mm-hmm. I think, and part of our mission is to help us find that in the way that we do it with this show. You've traveled about quite a bit. You've been a part of other communities. How do you think of Tallahassee? What comes to mind when you think of your hometown?
So it's interesting. When I'll kind of take it the individual level and take it up to the community. So when we think about identity, right? We have a lot of different identities. And identity can either be a source of affirmation and pride, right? We feel good about it. We're excited about it. It makes us feel good. Or it can be a source of threat, right, and shame. It can operate two different ways. So from my experience in Tallahassee, it's one of affirmation and pride. I came to Tallahassee as a 16-year-old college freshman. To FAMU, and I loved it. It was an amazing experience. It was the years in which I grew into the young woman that I became and now the woman that I am. It motivated me to dream big, right? It motivated me to understand that I'm a part of a place, right? And so our identities can also intersect, because Tallahassee is largely defined via this lens of FAMU for me, right? Mm. So this intersection of Tallahassee meets FAMU is very critical to the positive view that I have of Tallahassee. And then for my family to have moved down here from New York, now it's not only Tallahassee, it's Tallahassee and my family, mm. right? And so there's all of these, and then now there's community and family and friends and sorority and all of these things that intersect that make Tallahassee home and make Tallahassee feel good to me.
How do you think we're perceived elsewhere by others who are not part of this community?
So I'd say, even before talking about Tallahassee, if we think about the South, just like any given identity group, there are stereotypes, right?
Yeah.
So we can go through the laundry list of stereotypes attached to being Southern, but then you could even break it down even further to being from the Deep South, right? And then you can break it down even further to being Floridian, right? So all of these different labels yeah. have different, right. you know, stigmas and stereotypes attached to it. But I think that it's important for people to self-define what it means for them, because if you allow stereotypes and biases that other people perceive mm. to define it for you, you're setting yourself up for a lose-lose situation, mm. you know, versus saying, what does it mean to me? What value does it bring to
me? When you're out among other professionals or among those that you are speaking to and you say, I'm from Tallahassee, what do you hear back? What do people say?
So some people will say, oh, where's that? Huh. Then some people will say, oh, that's where FAMU, that's FSU, right? So
yeah.
Tallahassee is largely defined by the university context here.
Uh-huh.
And I think that can also be polarizing
yeah,
because
yeah.
everybody that's in Tallahassee is not connected to FAMU or FSU.
Right.
So the question then becomes, what is Tallahassee without the universities?
Right.
And how do the non-university connected citizens of Tallahassee connect? And that's why I'm really excited about, you know, our new mayor, Andrew Gillum, that one of my classmates, one of my good friends, you know, coming in as the mayor, because I know that one of Andrew's focuses is to create a common identity of what Tallahassee means, an inclusive
mm-hmm.
perspective of what it means to be a Tallahasseean. So I'm excited about this new chapter.
Are those things that you think of related to Tallahassee that, as you've said, are a bit stereotypic, whether it's, you know, a college town mm-hmm. or even a football team? I mean, there's plenty of press out there right now about
right.
FSU football and Jameis Winston. Are they inhibiting for us? Is that a mask that we have to pull away from?
I think
from
that it can be blinding and consuming, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that if we so any given identity can be defined a number of ways, and I do think that it's limiting, in my opinion, I do think that it's limiting for us to solely define ourselves by a football team or even by a band, right?
Mm.
Just talking about the major things with both universities.
Mm.
I think that it doesn't allow us to honestly look at some of the other dynamics. I could sit here and say, I'm a professor and a mother and a wife and a business owner, and that's who I am. But the reality is that's only four pieces of who I am.
And that's
right?
only what you do. It's
and
not
that's
really...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there are some other areas of my life that I may need to dissect more, right? I'm a procrastinator. So that's something that I have to pay attention to so that it does not become a liability in my life. But if I only focus on the positive things and I'm not vulnerable enough to focus on some of the areas that need some.
Okay, so that, if you're like me, you're scrambling, trying to get all this clear in your head. And it wouldn't be inadvisable to be taking notes as we learn more from Dr. Charles here this morning. Talking about the very important business, I would say, of self-awareness, self-correction, and allowing others who are intimately involved in the works that we're about, whether in our homes, in our businesses, in our personal relationships and friendships, to have access and to be able to make statements to us about how we can change what we do. Folks, I want to say we all need to be in that business, right? So, folks, stay with me. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got a little bit more I want to try to get mm-hmm. for you before we let her go. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Wooden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Wood & Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wood & Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Wood & Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
The holidays are coming. Better shower up with a beautiful custom shower enclosure from Wood & Glass. Wood & Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed bath and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for 75 years. When you call Wood & Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Widden's top-of-the-line bath and shower enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family. And that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Widden Glass today, 222-5781, or find lots of great ideas for your home at their website, widdenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Widden. Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Don't wait until it's too late. Call today, 222-5781.
The best place for conversation. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back, and glad that you stayed with us here in the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Having a great morning, and what a great week this has been for all of us here in Tallahassee Town. And we have such a great conversation going with Dr. Atira Charles, who, for her part, seems to be pretty busy contributing to her own family, the lives of others. She's a professor over there at FAMU in business and an organizational consultant, a motivational speaker. And you are sort of in the business now of preparing to do an audio book. Is that somewhere back there in the works, huh?
Yes. So the work that I do related to identity and self-awareness and how we manage that in our personal and especially our professional lives is something that I'm working on now. And so I'm working on the details and the content. But yes, the goal is to have it as an audio book.
Yeah. Well, we had Dr. Cirio on earlier in the show today and actually pulled a segment of another conversation we'd had with him focused on this question about the Ebola virus. Mm-hmm. And the reason I did that, particularly for today's show, is to put that in the context of what you and I are talking about, mm-hmm. whereby we find ourselves beset with all kinds of fear and anxieties and stresses, whether they're workplace related. Think about this. When I was a young man, mm-hmm. I never thought if I go to work today, I could get shot.
Right.
Or somebody might go off and decide to come in and start killing people,
right.
whether at my school or my place of work. And when I think about what you shared with us in the first hour, talking about this isolation. There's no oxygen getting to me, right? So I just sort of implode. I mean, I think about this 14-year-old up there in
so
the
sad.
Seattle area.
So sad.
That's my hometown. I know those people up mm-hmm. there. I mean, you might as well have set off an atomic bomb.
And here's the interesting thing with that story. All of the anecdotes about the child or that he was a popular kid, a friendly kid, everybody loved him, right? So when we think about wearing a mask, right? Paul Laurence Dunbar has a poem that I love that motivates a lot of the work that I do. And the beginning of the poem is, we wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. You know, and people are not always aware or privy to what's going on the inside, which is why it's important for all of us to at least have those self-reflective moments so that we can more accurately communicate to the people in our world, I'm afraid, I'm ashamed, I have fear, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm mad. And I think it's imperative that we do that as adults because we have to teach our children to do so.
That it's okay.
That it's okay, because we're in a society where image matters so much and presentation of self does not have to be authentic, right? Just kind of connecting to media and entertainment and things of that nature.
And the outcry that has come about with Jameis Winston, to me, illustrates how sensitive that whole presentation of self is when we idolize somebody who, after all, is flesh and blood. But, oh, wait a minute, Brian. He's our star quarterback. Right. He has to live at a different standard.
And here's the challenge with that, right? We have these expectations of others, but are unclear on the expectations we set for ourselves. And I think we have a tendency to, and it's a self-serving bias, right? I mean, research supports this, that we have a tendency to attribute failures to others and successes to ourselves. Hmm. But the challenge with that, just kind of keeping it with the youth conversation, because at the end of the day, he's a star quarterback, but he's a young man who was a teenager when he came into everybody's lives.
Yeah.
The expectation that he has gone through a process of self-reflection and proper impression management is unfair because for those
unrealistic.
Yeah, it's unfair if he has not been given those tools, because the reality is most people have not been given those tools. There's just a different lens and microscope on him. And that's not to minimize any of some of the behaviors that he should be managing more effectively.
Right.
But at the end of the day, he is a young man that is finding himself under the microscope and scrutiny of the world, and that's not easy.
To me, it supports your observation with the 14-year-old kid who decides to take aim, right?
Right.
What was it that was so fractured? There was this sort of schism, this outward self that is presented. That's the one we want to see. That's the one we're going to reward. Oh, you can throw
because that's also the one that makes us feel good about ourselves.
There you go.
Right.
And so I dare say that when Mr. Winston was being recruited for his current occupation, I would be shocked to find out that anybody sat him down and said, well, now let's talk about you. You know, let's find out what you value in life and how honest are you with yourself and what masks do you wear? No, they found out that this guy was an amazing football player.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they put their marker. That's what they said they wanted. They got that.
Right.
And I even said to Lynn Wicker, she was on the show here a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, he went out and did exactly what we asked him to do. Win a frickin' championship. And he, you know, and he's over here acting out. And those are undesirable behaviors. And you've said it's not about the behavior. It's about what are we doing to support this guy and walk with him and get him through this.
And not just him, right?
Our
community as a whole.
Yeah.
Our community as a whole. Because all of us have thoughts and all of us have behaviors and emotions that we don't share with the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has something that needs some management.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to be very careful of our level of being critical of others without being compassionate about their experience and their lived experience.
And see, to me, that's the level of hypocrisy that comes into play.
Oh, totally.
Yeah? Because we didn't run this guy through a personality inventory and decide, you know what, even though this guy can throw a football like there's no tomorrow, we're just not interested. No, we said, are you kidding?
But
this guy will make us a ton of cash. You know?
Right. People are also uncomfortable with having the conversation, period, right?
Yeah.
Because if people aren't able to have the conversation with themselves, how can they be stewards of the conversation with others, mm-hmm. you know? And that's why in the classroom, I mean, my students always say, you know, Dr. C, you're always standing on some box telling us about something about ourselves. This isn't in the chapter. And I say, you're right. It's not in the chapter, but it's in your life, right?
You are the chapter.
Exactly. And I tell them, I said, I could care less if you retain 5 out of 7 versus 7 out of 7 concepts. But if you understand this life lesson that we are talking about right now, you will be better off for it.
Good for you.
You know, and I always tell people, I said, I'm emotionally intrusive. I start every talk off with that. I start every class off with that and say, I'm emotionally intrusive.
I'm going to be getting in your face.
Exactly.
Folks, this is why we do what we do here. Dr. Atira Charles with us this morning, professor, business consultant, motivational speaker, and an author about to release in the near future an audiobook. We're looking forward to that. And a good friend of this show.
Yes.
And
thank
a good
you
friend.
So much for inviting me back.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln affirms his faith in God, issuing a proclamation and officially declaring the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, join with us in prayer for our great nation. From Witten Glass on South Monroe in Tallahassee, call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, on this eve of Thanksgiving week as we look forward to the days ahead. And I trust that you will find yourself among those who you love and who love you, however you go about gathering. And in whatever fashion you choose to acknowledge the day, my encouragement to you is that you recognize its foundation. This is not the first time that this country has been in crisis, and we're in crisis. We're in a battle for the soul of a nation. We are at war with one another over what this country is going to look like going forward. Only this time we're not fighting with bullets. We're fighting with ballots, and we're not shooting cannons at each other. We got Facebook to do that, you know. So we're fighting each other with ideas and words and ballots, and it is a challenge. That's an understatement. It is critical that we face how it is that we go forward when at a time like Thanksgiving, we're just exhausted. Well, here comes Tallahassee Community Chorus. And you're going to hear all about this remarkable organization once again. And we're going to have an opportunity with their artistic director, Dr. Michael Hanewald, who has assumed the responsibilities there following Dr. Andre Thomas's retirement. Dr. Hanewald took the helm last year, and no more than one season under his belt, and then he gets handed all kinds of setbacks and shutdowns and I mean, they couldn't even gather for rehearsals because the space that they would normally do that said, no, we're not going to do that. And, I mean, the chorus members themselves were, like all of us, faced with, wait a minute, how do we do that? How do we properly distance ourselves? And let's just say that those circumstances, and you can say that included having a concert hall like Ruby Diamond where they can perform. Well, that was taken away. Right. And then comes the financial challenges. I mean, they couldn't sell tickets because they don't have a show. And this is their thing to do, right? They're show people. They put on shows. And incidentally, they're a not-for-profit organization. These are volunteers. You know, I mean, they're doing this, as the word amateur implies, for the love of it. And man, when you think about that, and you know, I'm encouraging you to give thanks for those things that we've been given. Well, the chorus has done that and more, because we can be thankful that there are people in our community like Dr. Michael Hannawalt and the chorus president, Jan Smith, and all of those chorus members. And Anna, who's over there trying to handle all the marketing and communications. Some of these people have spent better part of their last 20 years doing this. I mean, they're entirely devoted. So then it begs the question, what happens when you can't do what you are purposed to do? You know, you're the reason for your existence. When you're just devoid of those opportunities. Well, you dig down and you discover more about who you really are as an organization. If you remember earlier, I guess last week, I was talking to you then about part of this process of reinvention and self-discovery and how we are knitted together in a very decided way in which our purpose in life is really the last thing that we can consider. Prior to that, we have to know what we're worth. You know, what value do we bring? And we can't answer that question until we first deal with who we are. So identity then is the bedrock there. It is the foundation. And when you look at an organization, you can do the same thing. Identity, character or value, and then your life purpose, the why. And people care a lot about the why. Why are you doing this? And if you don't know, it's because you've not been willing to get in touch with those other questions that are foundational. You know, when you look at Tallahassee Community Chorus, you find out a lot, and they have discovered a lot more who they are. Well, in brief, they are an organization that is devoted to the well-being of this community. You know, well, they're a bunch of singers, and they just love to sing and put on shows. Well, yeah, that's the why, we'll say. That's their purpose. But also springing from that is this notion that they're really here for you and I. They're really here for the greater good. And they're simply pursuing this means by which they're able to say, this is how important you are to us. This is how important this community is. And I mean the greater Tallahassee, the metro, the 5-county area. So much so that they took it upon themselves recently to visit Hickory Hill Cemetery. Now, Hickory Hill Cemetery is the main burial ground for African American families that lived and worked at the Wilani Plantation, going back into the early part of the 20th century. And you have people who were laid to rest there, grave markers that date back to 1919 all the way up to 1947. And it's a labor of love among the local churches there to maintain this historic, and it is on the historic registry, Hickory Hill Cemetery. It's all part of the Miccosukee Greenway now. Remarkable story. And how remarkable for this organization to look for some other way that they could take it upon themselves to advance their mission, to express who they really are, and thereby, knowing who they are, demonstrate their value to us and to one another, and then fulfill part of their mission, their why, their purpose. It is exactly what you and I need to do this week. If we've not been doing this of late, this is a great week on Thanksgiving week to say, if I have been reduced in my ability to do what I normally would, what does that tell me then about who I am, what I'm worth, and why I'm here? In that discovery, yes, there will be some reinvention. There will be some adaptation. But my friend, you will find yourself grateful.
In the early autumn of 1621, a small group of surviving settlers gather to give thanks for their first successful harvest. They are joined by the local Wampanoag natives who have helped these settlers secure their survival. As a people, these pilgrims are guided by a strong faith in their Creator and regularly declare days of prayer and thanksgiving. But on this special day, not only are they grateful for the food God has provided in greater abundance, but also for these good friends, the Wampanoag natives, who themselves contribute to their feast with venison and enjoy the celebration of their newfound friendship. This Thanksgiving, may that same spirit of gratefulness for family, for friends, and a land of freedom be yours. From Dr. Eve James and her team at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, providing comprehensive family dentistry in a relaxed and comfortable setting. Online at southernsmilesfl.com or call 875-3908.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Dr. Michael Hannawalt is the Director of Graduate Choral Studies at Florida State University, where he conducts the chamber choir and teaches graduate courses in conducting and choral literature. Previous appointments include the Director of Choral Activities at Wichita State University. He's the chorus director at the Wichita Symphony Orchestra and visiting instructor of music at St. Olaf College. It happens, I'm going to read a few of these things for you because this guy's got some bona fides here that are worth repeating. Dr. Hannawalt is a founding member of the professional male vocal ensemble Cantus, based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And during his 11-year tenure, he recorded 12 CDs and participated in 200 educational outreach events, performed in or oversaw the booking of more than 500 concerts, and served for 6 years as executive director. He also happens to be an active, renowned tenor soloist and a composer. His choral arrangements are published by Boosey and Hawkes. Dr. Hannawalt holds a Bachelor of Music in Vocal Performance from St. Olaf and a Master's in Choral Conducting from Michigan State University, as well as a doctorate in Choral Music Education from Florida State University. Currently, he serves as the Artistic Director for the Tallahassee Community Chorus. And he is our guest this morning. How are you there, Dr. Hannawalt?
I'm doing well, Brian. It's great to be back.
Oh, we're so glad that you have figured out a way to join us. You have, if I may just kind of lead in this way, a remarkable, as I hope I gave our audience a chance to hear, degree of accomplishment and diversity of experience. And it just seems like, you know, when you came aboard in at the retirement of Dr. Thomas, it seemed like such a perfect fit to me. But this year for you then, and man, what an initiation. You got one season out, and then comes 2020. I guess,
yep.
Help us out in understanding where you guys are now.
Well, we have been in Zoom virtual rehearsals for most of the fall. And, you know, all of us, when all this started, we're really just, of course, making this all up as we went along, learning to kind of drive the truck as it was being built, as they say. And not having had anything to compare this to in the past, you know, all these arts organizations, including the Tallahassee Community Chorus, we're all just kind of punting and trying to figure out what can we do that will be meaningful for our members, that will help keep us in the public light, and, you know, serve as a meaningful placeholder and experience together, a place to build community together until we are able to come back and, you know, do this for real, you know, in person, as we all have come to know and love. And as you mentioned, you know, this organization is kind of a melting pot. You know, there are students from FSU who take the choir as a class. There are community members who sing. There's, you know, close between 200 and 250 singers every semester, given the particular year. There's professional orchestral players involved from the community that play along with us on major works. There's a board of directors, it's a nonprofit, so there's that whole aspect to it. But it really is kind of multi-headed dragon in the best possible ways, of course.
Right.
And you know, as we were thinking about this fall, we were trying to, you know, feed as many of those heads as possible, basically,
and
keep all of those things satisfied. So it was a little bit of a puzzle. You know, ultimately we decided that, you know, there was no place where you could put 200 people, distance them safely, you know, and do anything in person. And so we had made the decision to not hold in-person rehearsals. And then the question became, you know, what do we do after that? And we knew the chorus is, you know, certainly a purveyor of fine music for the community, and a organization that puts on concerts. You know, the chorus is also a community of people who love each other and who show up to sing because it's part of their social fabric and support system and network. And we figured that was the aspect of it that we really needed to concentrate on, because in this climate, in this pandemic, where so many people are so isolated and stripped of the other social interactions that they might normally have, maintaining that sense of connection was all that much more important.
Wow. Wow.
So we've been holding these weekly Zoom rehearsals, and it's been a hodgepodge of things, you know. We do some quote unquote rehearsing of repertoire, where we have, you know, MIDI tracks that people are singing along inside their own homes. You know, everyone's on mute, so you can't hear anything, but people are making music simultaneously, if not quite together. Mm. And we've also interspersed other just kind of informational portions of the hour for the singers. So our graduate students have given presentations on various elements of music history or things like that, to provide some just kind of educational interest for the singers. We've had visits from past graduate student assistant conductors who have come back and spent 10 minutes with us during the hour just telling us, you know, how they're doing in their life. And of course, you know, the chorus kind of adopts these students as they come through and work with the choir. So they're very interested to see how they're doing, and it's great to see some of those faces again. Dr. Thomas is actually coming back this evening in our Zoom rehearsal to say hello. So we've really tried to, you know, put a number of things together that would be meaningful for the chorus, and keep us keep them engaged and keep them interacting in a way that was positive and a good placeholder and a meaningful placeholder until we're able to be back together in person.
Talking with Dr. Michael Hannawalt, he's the director for Tallahassee Community Chorus, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln affirms his faith in God, issuing a proclamation and officially declaring the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, join with us in prayer for our great nation. From Wood and Glass on South Monroe in Tallahassee, call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I've got the man, the director, the artistic, I guess your proper title is artistic director. Did I get that right? Yeah. Artistic director, and you're the director of choral studies then for Florida State University School of Music. Is that
correct?
Right? Yes.
Director of Graduate Choral Studies.
Director of Graduate Choral Studies. It says that right here in front of me. I don't know. I can't read that. You have had such a diverse number of experiences that have prepared you for this position, but I suppose you've told us in this first part of the show that nothing could prepare you for, as you say, trying to build a truck while you're driving it down the road 50 miles an hour.
Yep.
And so that speaks to this thing that you're talking about, the level of devotion, connectedness among you as an organization, all of the chorus members, choral members, and your directors, Jan Smith and her folks that have really continued to press forward. Now, in terms of performances, can we expect that to happen this season, do you think, or are we looking at next year? Where are we on performances?
In terms of traditional public performances, I think we're probably looking at next year, at least in the way everyone thinks about public performances. We are doing one number as a virtual choir this fall, where everyone kind of records their parts individually, and we'll have it all stitched together. So that will be released online.
Now that's fascinating. When you say that everybody's going to record their individual parts, that's like 200 plus voices being stitched together.
Yeah, something like that. And everyone's got a guide track, which will play, with a microphone in one of their ears. So they're singing at the same tempo and at the same time as everyone else. And then we take all these individual videos, which people just shoot on their phones, gather all those files, and they all get stitched together into this kind of mosaic of a virtual choir. And, it's not real choir, but it's become a wonderful tool for people being able to feel like they have something they can hang their hat on. Hey, we accomplished this. We did this together, almost.
Right.
In some ways, and you know, just gives people something to point to. And there's a lot of beauty in that. And if that's what we have right now, that's what we have. And we're grateful for that. But I think in terms of public performances, we're not looking until next fall.
Yeah. And that would be, okay, so fall of 21, and that we would assume would be at Ruby Diamond, your home.
Here's hoping.
Yeah, right. But you stop and think for a minute. That in and of itself is a remarkable phenomenon where you've pulled together using the state-of-the-art video, audio, recording, and all the post-production that goes then to assembling this. It may in and of itself, or would you think that this in and of itself may be yet another, I don't know what you want to call it, art form or channel or platform, and we might even see more of that coming from the chorus in days and years ahead, regardless of, you know, it being an imperative. It maybe be an option that you guys could be producing video in that way, and it'd just be another stream for us because we just can't get enough of you. I mean, that's the point. That's kind of the way it is. We just have to have more DC chorus in our lives.
Well, that's nice of you to say. There has been a whole cottage industry of these people that do virtual choirs that have kind of sprung up. And I do have to give a shout out to, you know, a couple of our own graduate students, Lauren Ramey, who's the assistant conductor with the Tallahassee Community Chorus this fall, or this year rather. And, another one of our graduate students, Morgan Ludig, and they have both just kind of dove in since this summer, learning how to do these, becoming really proficient about it. And they both of them have gotten, gigs around the country putting these together for various organizations.
See,
so we've been lucky to have,
I mean,
you know, we've been lucky to have a couple of people in house that can do that.
Awesome.
So,
I mean, and think about that whole necessity being the mother of, right? So we've birthed this whole another, I don't know what you want to call it, maybe too much to say an industry, but certainly an adaptation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, even if virtual choirs per se don't persist past the pandemic, certainly there's no doubt about this, the video editing skills, you know, that art form of putting together a polished video performance that can be online and be an online vehicle for marketing and artistic dissemination for an arts organization like the Tallahassee Community Chorus.
That's
going to be invaluable. So yeah, you're exactly right that necessity being the mother of invention. I do think this will, in some ways, you know, even though this is a very difficult time for arts organizations, it has forced people to learn new skills in a way that will somewhat, you know, for sure be beneficial to them in the future.
I mean, and I think of our own history nationally, some of our worst trials and tragedies then gave birth to all kinds of innovation and, you know, whether in science or medicine or engineering, you know, and art performances. So we should expect then an online performance to happen when?
So it'll be done sometime in the next few weeks. We're having videos going to come due in a couple weeks here, and then it'll probably take a couple weeks of editing to put it all together. So we're thinking early December probably that this would be coming out. And it will just be one song. It's an arrangement of How Can I Keep From Singing, done by Troy Robertson, who's a dear friend and colleague of mine.
Seems like an appropriate title given the circumstances.
You know, we have ended up closing every single virtual rehearsal that we've had with that song. And it's a little bit of a mantra for us and beautiful, you know, idea that we can keep singing and keep
That's right.
making music in the midst of all of this. So
couldn't
be a better text, that's for sure.
Just to throw another data point into this conversation with the recent announcements from pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer and others, saying, hey, we've got this thing. And I mean, who knows, within the next month, maybe within the next 10 weeks, vaccines are available and it may change the landscape once again. So here's hoping that comes about more soon, you know, sooner than later.
Yeah, certainly that's encouraging. And, excited to see, you know, certainly there's challenges in distribution and getting all that rolled out, but I'm excited that the vaccines are that effective, and certainly that portends well for, you know, the country getting back to normal and arts organizations included.
So this virtual performance then will be available at your website. Is that the idea?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to release it on the website via the Facebook page and try to get it out there through those means.
And this will be a no charge sort of thing. So it's not a pay to play situation. People can just enjoy the music and say thank you, huh?
Yeah, it's just, you know, a way for us to say, you know, thanks to the community. Tell everybody that we're still here together making music in whatever way we can, and are looking forward to time where we get to do this in person again. So it's a reminder to our audience that we're still there as well, and we can't wait to see them again at some point in the future.
Tell us again the title of the piece that you'll be performing.
How Can I Keep From Singing, an arrangement of that tune by Troy Robertson.
Well, folks, that should be our mantra here, I think, as well. And on behalf of the chorus, we've got Dr. Michael Hannemalt. He is the director of choral studies for the graduate choral studies at Florida State University, and, of course, the artistic director for Tallahassee Community Chorus, talking about how they have been dealing with the coronavirus pandemic and all that they're doing to maintain stability and enthusiasm among their ranks, with promise of this performance coming out here in, we hope, in just a few weeks. You stay with me. We're going to have a few more minutes with Dr. Hannemalt. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Don't forget, you can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Dr. Hannemalt. Michael, you have, in your career, among other accomplishments, been responsible for the production, I was noting this earlier, of 200 educational outreach events, performed in or oversaw the booking of more than 500 concerts, and that was over an 11-year period. Those experiences no doubt come to bear in terms of your savvy and your ability to kind of navigate on behalf of. Are there aspects of this situation, your conditions now, that challenge some of your more customary thinking? I mean, did you guys work collectively in that way? Were you like in daily communication, maybe even now, talking among your board members and others to try to figure that out? Just give us an insight into that process.
Yeah, I spoke quite regularly with, you know, Jan Smith, who's our board president, and McLean Harden, who's our executive director, over the summer. We were literally just trying to think, you know, what the heck are we going to do here? And it changed every couple weeks. You know, one idea would pop into my head or somebody else's head, and then we would move on to a different idea when we exhausted the feeling that couldn't work. And it really was just a little bit of a process of elimination, a process of discovery. And we still, to this day, you know, we've been doing these Zoom rehearsals every week, and we meet 45 minutes ahead of the rehearsal. We got to make sure the technology is working. We debrief from the past rehearsal, what went well, what didn't, how can we tweak it to make it a better experience, you know, for the members. So it really has been a learning experience for us, and something that we continue to try to get better at. And I, you know, I think too that there's that old adage, you know, people say you have to swim in the lake you're in. And, you know, I have to give a shout out to the board of directors and Jan and McLean in particular, and all the chorus really, who just kept swimming. You know, they have kept swimming, and that's sometimes that's all you can do. And and sometimes that's got to be good enough. But I will say, you know, to your point where it makes you kind of question things, you know, I think everyone in the music industry has questioned, you know, what is actually important about this? Is giving live performance the it? And certainly that's a huge part of the it, but what else is important about this? And, you know, of course, community is important about it. Friendships, love, you know, the social interaction, all of those philosophical issues that come into play when you're doing music. You know, part of the repertoire that we quote-unquote rehearsed this semester was all music by, most of it was music by Black composers or spirituals or something that had some connection to the African-American community. And in addition to doing that repertoire, to highlight all these social justice issues, which are so important and are so such at a forefront in the culture right now, we also took on a community service project as Tallahassee Community Chorus, where we, in partnership with University Singers at Florida State, and Kevin Fenton, who's their director, we actually went to Hickory Hill Cemetery, which is an old African-American cemetery near the Miccosukee Greenway, east of town. And we had a Saturday where we went in, everyone brought their own lawn equipment, and we cleaned it up. It was really overgrown, you know, barely even walk in there, see the grave sites and everything like that. And we kind of took it upon ourselves to hopefully do something positive and good in the community for a population that hasn't always had positive and good things done on its behalf. So, you know, we tried to take this semester and make it about something not that wasn't just musical in nature. You know, it was something that spoke to us in a different way, and tried to make the it a little bit something different than that it might normally have been.
Well, certainly something broader and something more revealing as to the depth to which this organization is invested in this community and vice versa. So to me, the challenge for organizations, especially performing arts organizations, even more demanding, and here you guys turned around and said, well, who are we really? Who are we? Well, you know what? We're more than just a group of college kids. We're more than just a group of community voices that love to do what we do. We belong to this community, and the community belongs to us. And we are going to say, this is another, I guess, revelation as to who we really are as an organization. That's commendable.
Well, you know, there's not too many times in life where the circumstances force you to think. You know, and many times that's, there are the difficult circumstances that force one to do that. And certainly there's a lot of pain involved with that. And, often, you know, some very profound things come of it and some deeper understanding of, you know, what's important in life. And, if that, some of that, those nuggets can, stay as a part of our consciousness as we move forward, you know, I think that's, only to our benefit.
My friend, it is always a pleasure, and especially on this occasion, to talk with you about such things, because as is characteristic of your style and your approach to life and your approach to this organization and music in general, you bring that level of curiosity and determination and innovation in everything I've seen you do. And, you know, I agree with you. These difficulties themselves are are challenging, but I would contend that it is up to those in leadership, especially, to look beyond the veil and see the opportunity for that sort of turnaround, that sort of turning a negative into a more positive. And I really think that those opportunities remain, but it's always a choice. You're to be commended, you and all of the team, for having chosen to take the high road. So congratulations to Tallahassee Community Chorus for giving us all a very timely example, certainly one that we need. And we will be listening and watching and waiting for this highly anticipated online performance. So we'll keep our listeners informed as to its debut.
Well, we certainly appreciate all of the great conversation over the years, Brian, and your continued support of us. And we're grateful for all of that, especially in the face of all these current circumstances. So thanks to you and your team there.
You are quite welcome, my friend. Dr. Michael Hanawalt, Director of Graduate Choral Studies, Florida State University, and the Artistic Director for Tallahassee Community Chorus, our guest this morning. Thanks again, my friend.
Likewise. It's great to talk to you, Brian.
Folks, that's what I have for you today. Glad that you were able to be a part of it. We look forward to having you again next week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's Radio to the World, featuring all local musicians performing their original songs. That is the sound of Tallahassee at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
October 3rd, 1863. Our nation is torn in the midst of civil war. Over 100,000 lives have been lost. Faced with the uncertainty of our survival as a nation, President Lincoln declares his faith in God, issuing a proclamation.
I invite my fellow citizens with humble penitence to fervently implore the Almighty to heal the wounds of our nation to the full enjoyment of peace, tranquility, and union.
He recalls the blessings and mercies of God in spite of our disobedience and officially declares the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise. This Thanksgiving, may we find that same gratefulness in our hearts in the midst of adversity and join together in prayer for our nation. From Wood and Glass on South Monroe in Tallahassee for window glass replacement, bath and shower enclosures, mirrors, tabletops, and storefront glass, call 222-5781 or online at woodandglass.com.